Greetings again, everyone. We're going to begin our study of John chapter 2 today and want to just repeat our simple approach in Friends Bible Study is to read, write, share, and listen, and each part is important. Friends Bible Study assumes that the participants have some ability to meditate on the Scriptures, but at the same time, we realize that it's an ongoing process, and that's one reason why doing it together and sharing together daily is such an important part of that process, because we learn together how to meditate on the Word of God. And we can't go into great deal here in these introductory comments, but I will share more little by little on meditation. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 is one of the most well-known verses in the Bible about meditation. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may observe to do everything that is written in it. Then everything you will do will be prosperous and successful. So we need not just to listen or read the Word, but to meditate. It means to think about it, day and night, to try to understand the meaning, to chew and digest. And there's such a wonderful promise if we do meditate and put the Word of God into practice. It says everything we do will be prosperous and successful. So let's prepare our heart to hear the Word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word and that you speak to us. We pray that you would teach us how to meditate and to not just hear or listen, but think deeply and to chew and digest your Word and understand it and obey it. And pray that today, and as we go through this study this week in John chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher and open our hearts and minds to understand what you're trying to say to us. And may the glory of Christ be revealed in the sharing of his Word today. Amen. So one thing that's very helpful to do is to summarize the chapters that we study. Here is my one-sentence summary of John chapter 2. Jesus changes water into wine, cleanses the temple, and answers the Jewish leaders' demand for a miraculous sign. Another thing that's very helpful to do is to look for key verses in chapters. A key verse is a verse that you think is important or that summarizes the main point or theme of a chapter. And as you pick out key verses and note them in the margin of your Bible or underline them, however you do it, it'll be like a sign or a road marker that will remind you of what the chapter was all about the next time you come. So I chose one of the key verses I chose for John chapter 2 is verse 5. Jesus, it says, his mother said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And we'll talk more about this as we go along. So, the subtitle for this section, John chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, is, and this is in your meditation questions, Jesus attends a wedding and turns water into wine. Let's begin at verse 1. The third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus was also invited with his disciples to the wedding. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with you and me? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. So the wedding in Cana was not far from where Jesus and some of his disciples grew up, so it's likely that Jesus' mother and family knew the family hosting the wedding, and his mother found out that they didn't have any more wine. This could have been an embarrassing thing in their culture. Weddings are a big deal in every culture, and major social events where friends, families, and relatives gather together to celebrate with a newlywed couple. So they run out of wine. Who knows, maybe too many people came or they didn't plan enough. But when Jesus' mother told Jesus he essentially said it's not the right time. His public ministry had not yet begun. But I love Jesus' mother's response. She didn't beg or nag Jesus to do something, but said to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. This is a spirit of faith. She wasn't trying to force Jesus to act, but had an expectation and just left it in his hands. So what did Jesus mean when he said, my time has not yet come? Well, he had not yet begun healing the sick and doing miracles, but as we see throughout John's gospel, Jesus continually repeated that he did nothing by himself. He did only what the Father told him to do. He didn't want to do something on his own initiative apart from the Father's timing. So this is what Jesus' mother said, whatever he says to do, do it. This is a major principle of walking with the Lord and of ministry. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. It's very simple, but very powerful. If you do what he says, good things will happen. So let's make this our goal. Whatever Jesus tells us to do, do it. Jesus would not force anything on his own initiative. He was always waiting for the Father to lead him. So why did he do this miracle and turn the water into wine? Well, I think he was listening to the Father and sensed that the Father was leading him to act. This is the mindset that Jesus modeled throughout John and that we need to follow. So let's read, beginning at verse 6. Nearby stood stone water jars, the kind used by Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. That's 80 to 120 liters in each pot, in each jar. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw out some water and take it to the master of the banquet. It's interesting to think about this from the perspective of the servants. They filled the water, and then Jesus told them to take it to the master of ceremonies. First, it began by Jesus' mother telling them, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And then they filled the pots with water. And then Jesus told them to take it to the take some out of the water jars and take it to the master of ceremonies. They probably thought, well, this is going to be interesting. They're going to think he's crazy. But they witnessed the miracle as we see in verse 9, when the ruler of the feast tasted the water that had now become wine, he didn't know where it came from. The servants knew who had drawn the water, but the ruler of the master of ceremonies and the other people there didn't know what happened. They just knew that the wine at the end of the celebration was better than the wine at the first. And so this master of ceremonies said, everyone serves the good wine at first, and when the guests have drunk freely, then that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine until now. Very interesting that Jesus revealed this miracle or allowed the servants to witness this miracle and also his disciples. But everybody else didn't know what had happened. The Gospel of John records seven signs. And of course, Jesus did many more miracles than that, but John records seven that are identified as signs given so that people would believe the gospel. He revealed his glory to the disciples. I think that they got a glimpse of his glory, maybe not the full manifestation, but I think that through this miracle, they came to understand that Jesus was more than just a great teacher or miracle worker, but they began to see who Jesus was. He's the Logos, the Word of God, the life, the light of the world, the Son of God. And they came to begin to understand that Jesus can transform anything. He can transform water into wine, and he can also transform people's lives. Someone said Jesus can turn water into wine, sinners into saints, fear into courage, sorrow into joy, defeat into victory, despair into hope, and death into life. Jesus can transform any situation or any person. Like the Apostle Paul, he persecuted followers of Jesus and tried to destroy the church. And then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his world changed, his values changed. He was radically transformed from the inside out. And later he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Paul experienced this transformation. Let me just summarize lessons from the story. First, verse 5, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. This is what a disciple is, someone that walks with Jesus and does what he tells us to do. Second, God reveals himself to ordinary people. The disciples were fishermen and ordinary people, not scholars or respected people. They had no high social position. But he revealed himself and his glory to them. I think a very important part of why he or how he reveals himself is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, that I've quoted before. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He reveals himself to ordinary people who are humble and don't think they're above others. And finally, I think we can also identify with the water pots. They were just ordinary containers, nothing special. Jesus told the servants to fill them with water, and then he told them to take the water to the master of ceremonies. And this is how the miracle took place. We are like water pots, empty vessels, but Jesus offers to us the water of life. We let Jesus fill us with the water of life from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And as we seek him and open our hearts to him, he transforms us from the inside out. And then we have new wine to offer to thirsty people around us. And when they drink the water that Jesus gives, it will be like new wine, and they'll be filled with joy. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that you reveal yourself to ordinary people. We just need to let you fill us with your life. Transform us into your image. Fill us with your Spirit and with your love. And may that love and the water of life flow from us to others around us. And they may be filled with the joy of your grace and of your love and of your life. And thank you for your tremendous and amazing grace. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.